You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. Thursday night, big night for women's basketball. And, of course, the We Back Cat conversation has been going on all week, honoring the legendary Pat Summitt of Tennessee. And we were looking to talk about that today, and we'll talk to a former Tennessee player later on. But we found out some interesting information about one of the great Tennessee football players in modern history, Peerless Price. Of course, we all remember his contribution to the national title and Peerless has joined us. Peerless, good afternoon. And first of all, before we get to Pat Summitt, how are you and what's going on in your life?
Oh, I'm doing great, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Right now, I'm actually out here in San Diego. My youngest daughter actually just got called into the youth national team soccer camp, U15 soccer camp for the women's national team. So I just came out here for the week, so she'll know someone is close by.
Well, considering the weather in most parts of the country, I think you've chosen wisely, Peerless, and it's great to hear that. I want to talk to you about Coach Summitt, and we'll obviously lead to the connection between some of the things that you were involved with. But let's go back in time a little bit and your first encounter with Coach Summitt and take it from there.
My first encounter with Coach Summitt was my freshman year at UT, 1995, and she had a stacked team. And I remember them practicing against some boys, some men. And I just remember how she was laying into those girls and how fiery she was and how she demanded that they do things the right way on and off the court. And so I was, you know, coming from high school, I was like, she's very passionate about what she do, because she's demanding all this with all her success. She's going to continue to be successful.
And from there, obviously, I mean, those were great times for Tennessee football, and you're living proof of that. Those were also an amazing, during an amazing stretch of Lady Vols basketball with titles, and you know, she won 8 in all, and was involved in so many other title quests. How did those encounters, and once you got to know her, ultimately affect you, and quite frankly, influence things that you later did in life?
It affected me tremendously because Pat would speak to us before some games. Coach Pullman would have her speak to us before some games. And it just the way she went about her business, the way she instilled everything she had into young people. And a lot of people, I don't think, they think it was mostly about basketball, but it was more about shaping young people in the game of life. And so for me, the way she went about it, the way she demanded you be a great human being, on and off the court, it's helped me in my life, on and off the field.
And you are continuing to honor her now with some of your pursuits. You mentioned your daughter, but tell us about the basketball organization that you now are involved with that honors the Lady Vols.
Yeah, so I started back in 2012 or 13. The North Georgia Lady Vols, and I think the name speaks for itself, and most people, when they see our Lady Vol logo on our jerseys, they automatically connect us to Knoxville, and then when I tell them we're actually a team out of the Atlanta area, and they're like, how are you able to get away with that? And I'm like, I'm able to get away with it because it's an honor of Pat Summitt. It's an honor of the Lady Vols and the legacy that they brought to the table, and the legacy that Pat brought and demanding excellence in everything you do. And so that's what our program is about. Demand excellence, not just on the basketball court with these young ladies that I've been blessed to coach and train throughout the years, but just do excellence in life. Be great human beings and be great in the classroom, and then that will carry over to other things in your life.
That is a tremendous honor, and I'm sure she would be proud to know what you and so many others are doing as we continue to celebrate her. Peerless, I don't want to let you go before we get some thoughts on what is currently going on in Knoxville right now. Somehow I can see you fitting in quite well to with Josh Heupel's offense. He loves to throw that long ball, yeah. And I in my mind I can see you catching quite a few. What do you make out of his first year?
Oh, I think it was a success. I got to talk to Coach Heupel at the college football Hall of Fame ceremonies when Al Wilson got inducted. So hung out with him a bit. And I'm excited. I know as an offensive guy, I know the offense is going to light up scoreboards. And I think he exceeded expectations, at least for me. I know some of our Vol fans expected us still to go 12-13-0. But I think he exceeded expectations because of program, from where he got the program, and guys leaving and going to the big-time players like Tol and Gray going to Alabama and Oklahoma, and you losing, you would say, probably your best offensive defense player, and you're still able to compete and have success his first year. I think the sky's the limit. I'm excited for him. I'm excited about the direction of the program. And that's the first time I can say that in a long time.
And as we close up on that point, it's been, let's be honest, a very dreary period for Tennessee football. But and I know there's been some false alarms, but how confident are you that this is the real thing?
Well, I think this is the real thing because I think it feels different. And I think when we've had success over the, I think Butch Jones went and won 9 games back-to-back, and then it kind of derailed then. But I think they're committed to Coach Heupel. I think Danny White, the athletic director, I think he hired the right guy, someone that he knows and someone he trusts, that he's seen the guy turn around programs. And so I think that's the difference. I think the athletic director and the head coach are on the same page. And there's a lot of trust, and you got to trust the process, and I think Danny White trusts the process with Coach Heupel.
Peerless Price, one of the all-time greats of the University of Tennessee, honoring Coach Summitt, as we all do this week and, quite frankly, all the time. Peerless, many thanks for your time. It's always good to see you. Best of luck with being a girl dad out there in California, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you for having me.
You got it. Always a pleasure. Wow, what a treat that was. And we will take a break. We have a lot more to do here on this Thursday afternoon. More of your phone calls and plenty more guests right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, welcome back. We just got through listening to Hootie, well, actually not Hootie, but Darius Rucker talk about Hootie and the Blowfish. And Andrea Adelson joins us, and something tells me back in the day, if you were friends with Andrea, you would hear her humming the lyrics to Let Her Cry or Only Want to Be With You. Come on, Andy, Andrea, reveal it all. I mean, you were a Hootie crazy woman, weren't you?
I am fangirling just listening to this interview, Paul. I wish it was me who got to ask him questions. I own every album, all his single records. I mean, I love Darius Rucker. And as a Dolphins fan, Like, how could I not relate to even the Dolphins make me cry? Yeah, Hootie, Darius, yeah, me too. And it's so funny, Paul, because I went to a bunch of their concerts, and I was just starting out in the business when Dan Marino retired, and I was working down in South Florida. And I was asked to go to the retirement thing that they had for him back in Joe Robbie Stadium, which is now Hard Rock Stadium. And Darius Rucker and Hootie and the Blowfish performed. And it was so exciting for me. And I have to admit this, and I don't know, maybe I'm going to be shamed for this, but afterward, I waited outside in the parking lot so that they would sign my little Hootie and the Blowfish hat. So, yeah. I was pretty Hootie crazed back in the day.
It's funny. A couple of years ago, Mark Kubiak, who you know, our producer, we went to we met Darius in Colombia and spent a lot of time with him doing a somewhat of a documentary. It was a short 30-minute piece on the SEC Network, and I mean, I knew the group, and I certainly knew him, and the whole group was there, and I'm like going. There's three other guys. I couldn't tell you one of their names, and I told a friend of mine, and she just like you, she was like, "Are you? No, what about this guy?" I said, "I know one or two of their songs. Don't bother me." But it is great to hear that. So anyway, we'll move on to other things. I just saw you a couple of days ago. It seemed like in Indianapolis. And by the way, before we get to the ACC, the convention's going on right now. What are you hearing from the Constitutional Convention up in Indy?
I feel like I need to start humming Hamilton right now when you say Constitutional Convention. They just passed legislation that will allow now Division I to essentially be able to come up with rules that they believe are best served for them. And that obviously includes the FBS and the Power Five conferences, who are interested in being able to do many different things compared to perhaps the Division II and the Division III schools that they were essentially all tied together. So that's just the first step, saying, okay, Division I, you now have the go-ahead to come up with a set of guidelines that'll be best served for you in Division I. Wait until all the arguments begin about what that is going to look like when it comes to player compensation. That ties into NIL, obviously, to automatic berths and the tournament. Revenue distribution is going to be something that's huge. And Division I doesn't just span the Alabamas of the world. We're also talking about some of the schools that don't have as large athletic budgets as Alabama does. So trying to get everybody together to come up with some rules that they all feel can best serve them, that's going to be the next most challenging part of what's happening with the NCAA transformation.
Talking to Andrew Adelson. Andrew, I want to ask you about expansion as well. You spend a lot of time covering the ACC. Jim Phillips has a great reputation, the former AD at Northwestern. He came out the other day and essentially not him alone, but his league stopped any progress with the college football playoff. It has been confusing and bewildering to some of us. What do you know, and why did he do it?
So the one thing Jim Phillips reiterated was, I'm sitting here telling you this on behalf of our member institutions. He's had over 30 meetings with university presidents, athletic directors, coaches, and then got feedback from players through their coaches. And he says it's unanimous from within their league. They would rather focus on all of the other issues happening in collegiate athletics, including what we just discussed with the NCAA at a crucial time with the transformation committee that's going to be meeting to determine what the NCAA Division I is going to look like and what college football is going to look like at such a crucial turning point right now in the sport. I think we can all sit here and agree that we haven't seen as much change over such a short period of time in college football like what we've seen over the last couple of years. And so from the ACC perspective, they would rather get some of those bigger picture issues solved than sit here and try and say, let's push through expansion for the final 2 years of the current contract. And the other thing that Jim told us is, what I'm telling you guys publicly right now in the media that he met with over a conference call last week, it doesn't come as a surprise to the other commissioners that are in the room. All the commissioners in the room have heard this from me. They know exactly what the ACC stance is on all of this. Maybe it was news to us and the general public just how entrenched the ACC seems to be in that position. But the people in the room, the decision makers, know that the ACC would much rather solve some of these bigger issues than figure out expansion right now.
And Andrea, I'm all for spending time on the most important issues. But if you're the ACC, other than Clemson, it would seem like maybe this wouldn't be a bad thing to be paying attention to. And especially if you're Pittsburgh, when you had a really good year, and had this been in existence, you would have probably had a seat at the table.
That came up during the call. What does Pat Narduzzi, Pitt coach, think about this? Because they obviously were not in the top four. They were the ACC champion, and in an expanded field, Pitt would have got in. And Jim Phillips said it was unanimous among all ACC coaches that they don't feel the need to rush into expansion during this current contract. Now, there's the reality that I think everybody understands there will be expansion. Once this current contract runs out at the end of the 2025 season, they can take this to the open market. They want to try and get multiple networks to be able to broadcast the games that one day, yeah, we'll get to expansion. But for right now, there are so many other issues that they want to be able to work through. They don't feel it's the right time to get to it. And the other coach that Jim Phillips continued to point to is Dabo Swinney, Clemson's head coach, who has been very vocal about the fact that he's not necessarily a huge fan of having to now play 16 or 17 games, that 15 games for his players when they were in the playoff took quite a toll on them physically. And so, again, that's another huge issue. We've heard from ACC players who've said, I don't know, we're not thrilled with having to play 16 or 17 games. So from the player welfare perspective, that's something else that Jim Phillips really touched on. And he's not the only commissioner that I've heard from who has said that. While we were in Indianapolis, I briefly spoke to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, and he must have mentioned student-athlete welfare as much as Jim Phillips did. Kevin just didn't say it in as public a way as Jim did on the teleconference. So I think there are a couple of conferences that are aligned in that respect, and it's not just the ACC that is trying to put the brakes on this for right now. There are a few others maybe who want to take a closer look at some of the key issues that have been brought up from their coaches and their players.
Andrea, I don't know these people. You do. You know more of them than I do. But I just wonder if the ACC or Dabo Swinney or some of these players are just living in a universe I'm not familiar with. Maybe I do spend too much time in the SEC, where the playoff seems to be a rather important end-of-the-year goal.
You know, Paul, I asked Jim Phillips, if you're sitting here and saying that you think we're going to get to a playoff at some point, why are you holding it up now? If it's going to be an eventuality, might as well get to it sooner rather than later, because it would benefit a league like the ACC. And of course, there would be a lot more money involved in a 12-team playoff than what there is right now. And the ACC of the Power Five conferences really could use some extra cash because they are involved in some long-term agreements that aren't necessarily going to be as financially beneficial to them as what the SEC is about to get, as what the Big Ten has and is about to get when their deal is up here in a couple of years. And so from that perspective, you have to think, okay, the ACC would stand to benefit in multiple ways with a playoff, because they could be insured of getting their champion in, something that did not happen this year, and they'd be able to bring more money into the conference where they trail behind the SEC and the Big Ten. But the ACC really wants to be at the forefront of having a say in what the NCAA and what college football is going to look like from now through the next couple of decades. And that's what they've determined. And again, this is the university presidents, the athletic directors, the coaches, all these discussions. It's not just Jim Phillips, who's standing on a hill waving a flag all by himself. This is a position the league has taken that they want to be able to answer a lot of these questions before they push forward with an expanded playoff, because in their mind, they don't even know what college football and the NCAA is going to look like in the years they're discussing expansion in the current contract, let alone what it's going to look like next year.
You mentioned the television contract. It's with ESPN, of course. I don't know what the details are. Many have pointed to the ACC deal as being less than spectacular compared to some of the things you've mentioned. Is that a big issue? I mean, we're still talking about a lot of money here, aren't we?
No question, it's a lot more money than what the ACC was making before. And now that the ACC network has Comcast into the mix, which is something Jim Phillips was able to get done within the last couple of months, that's going to be able to enhance what ESPN and the ACC already have. That was a big deal that they didn't have Comcast in the fold as a distributor for the ACC network. So that's a huge piece to this puzzle. But they're tied in through 2036. And that is a long, long time away when you consider what the SEC just got from ESPN and what it will stand to get once Oklahoma and Texas come into the fold. The same goes for the Big Ten when their agreement is up here in the next couple of years. We're talking about, what, 14 years down the line for the ACC to be able to look at another contract? There was a look-in window last year, Paul. My colleague David Hale and I wrote about this, where the ESPN and the ACC could come to the table and say, all right, how are things looking? How are things going? But there really wasn't much decided from that. The ACC is in this current deal in the way that it looks. And, of course, the big asterisk hanging out there is Notre Dame, right? The ACC would love nothing more than for Notre Dame to join in full-time as a football member. And Notre Dame, with this expanded format, is looking at it and saying, we don't have to do anything. We're great with the expanded 12-team playoff because we're going to be able to get in without having to go undefeated, right? And so some people have suggested, well, maybe Jim Phillips is using the position as leverage to try and get Notre Dame into the ACC. He denied that completely, emphatically last week. But really, if you're the ACC, what solves all these issues for you is Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is sitting there saying, we're good over here. So now what for the ACC in terms of trying to bring in the type of revenue that is going to be needed to compete with where the SEC and the Big Ten are? They're much better shape, but they're not where those two conferences are right now.
One more thing on that. Texas and Oklahoma waiting by the doorstep. A lot of people thought Notre Dame would be natural. That doesn't appear to be happening. Is expansion a moot issue for the ACC right now?
At least right now it is. I know a lot of people had some words to say about the alliance that was formed with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. And really, that was a function of trying to keep things as stable as possible within those three leagues, because they didn't want there to be instability caused by what the SEC was doing, especially at such a critical time. Now, that doesn't mean that we're done here and everything's great and everyone's going to be holding hands and this is how it's going to look forever. I think the one thing that we've learned watching collegiate athletics is the only thing we can guarantee is change, because there's constant change. So what that's going to look like at some point down the line, your guess is as good as mine. But at least for right now, with Notre Dame loving independent life and using the ACC the way that they did a year ago during the pandemic as a one and done, the ACC really doesn't have other options to turn to add to the conference to be able to enhance that TV deal. Now, again, I don't know what the Big Ten is going to do. I don't know what the Pac-12 is going to do. But the ACC at this point is good with where it is.
We'll leave it there. Andrea, thank you very much. We're heading to a break. Great stuff from Andrea Adelson. And we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul.
Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And from Ross Dellinger, that's Larry Scott, the former commish of the Pac-12 who got shown the door last year. Apparently an athletic director is, these are his socks. Who do you think that is wearing Larry Scott socks? Is it? I don't know. I would not wear Larry Scott socks. Very particular about my socks. I only wear SEC people on my socks. Well, let's talk to Kathy, who is up next. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just want to make some statements to the reference to the lady that called in about Ella.
Yes.
She needs to watch her podcast or watch her on TV. She'd see her personality and her style of commentating. Because she didn't mean anything bad about it. She's just a dog. She just enjoys our win. And the lady should be proud that the hats and the shirts are going to third world countries so they have something to wear. Because us Georgia Bulldogs have seen our items go over there for a long time. And as far as Vincent Bennett, this will be his last year that he can return. And Kirby knows what he's doing, offense coordinator and defense. So if he makes it, fine. But if he don't, the QB that sets up will have the starting position.
Well, Kathy, thank you very, very much. You be well. Take care of yourself. Charles is up next in Georgia. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I'm the guy that called you Tuesday.
Right. Remember you well.
Right, and you was asking me to give you an example of why I feel like we as black people would never be treated equal.
Right.
Okay. Mitch McConnell gave you a perfect example today if you watch the news.
I missed it. What happened?
If you heard in the news, okay, Mitch McConnell said black people vote just as much as Americans. So in his eyes, we're not even considered to be American. That's how I'm taking it. And I'm quite sure I'm not the only one that's taking it like that. But they're just a prime example of what I was trying to give you Tuesday about we as black people would never be treated equal in certain arenas. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I'm trying to.
How did
what Senator McDonald, I'm still trying to understand, what was the context of Senator McDonald's statement?
He blatantly said black people vote just as much as Americans. So to us, telling us that he don't even consider us to be American. We're not equal. I'm just calling you to give you an example because you were asking me that day when I talked to you to give you an example.
Yeah, so no, and by the way, I don't know Mr. McDonald. I don't know McDonald, but I have a, I mean, I'm just giving you an opinion here. It's hard for me to believe that the majority leader of the United States Senate was insinuating what you think he was insinuating.
Okay. Like I'm saying, this is just an example of me trying to explain to you how I feel about and how I see stuff, about equality, being treated as an equal. This is just a small example of stuff that I see that I feel like other races don't see us as equal.
Okay, let me, before I answer, I have now called up what he said, because I had not heard this, and you may very well, I mean, you are quoting him correctly. No, you're right. Hey, by the way, I spoke too soon. I will read you the article that that just came out. It said U.S. By the way, he's a minority leader in the Senate. I spoke erroneously. Mitch McConnell is trending on Twitter. This is coming from his hometown newspaper after making an insidious comment related to voting rights in which he implied African-Americans are not Americans. Prior to the vote on the John Lewis voting rights advancement, McConnell was asked by a reporter about concerns among voters of color. Well, the concern is misplaced because if you look at the statistics, African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans. So by the way, Charles, let me correct myself. You quoted him exactly what he said. I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, which I probably shouldn't have.
Okay. No problem. I was just calling you back to give you.
I don't know why my mind in 2022 does not want to believe that one of the most powerful figures in the United States Senate would make that inference, but you are 100% correct. That's exactly what he said.
Well, Paul, believe me. I just wanted to call you back, give you a prime example of how I feel on a daily basis.
Well, that is one stupid comment. You're absolutely right.
Well, you have a nice day, Paul.
Okay. They teach you in journalism and never you know, make sure you know the story before you give somebody the benefit of the doubt. I just blindly gave this man the benefit of the doubt, and I was proven in 20 seconds how wrong I was. Steve is up next. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Paul. I got a couple of comments. Before Cornell or some of the other people that are going to comment on this voting thing, they probably ought to read the bill. And it's really a voting rules bill. It's not a voting rights bill. I've been voting for 50 years, and nobody's threatening my right to go vote. What they're trying to do is allow unrestricted mail-in votes,
right,
which are,
yeah,
you cannot monitor those.
No, exactly. Well, no, yeah, I've heard that.
But, you know, nobody's taking anybody's right away to vote. And Cornell was talking about how they're trying to jimmy-rig the elections in the state of Georgia. Every 10 years, with the party that's in power in the state legislature has the ability to draw the voting lines, and it's just redistricting is all it is, and that's just a common practice. So nobody's discriminating against anybody. The Democrats, if they win, they draw it a certain way, and the Republicans.
Well, sure, that's been going on forever.
Forever, but anyway, aside from that, I can't believe what you read. I listened to what you read, and I did not hear. And I don't care for Mitch McConnell, but I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative, let me put it that way. But mm-hmm. I didn't hear what you said that would have indicated that Mitch McConnell said that African-Americans are not Americans. I missed
no,
that.
No, I think what he made a statement, and it came out wrong. I have no idea what his intent was. It's hard to imagine what his intent was when it came out.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me. My black friends have got just as much right to vote as I do and have exercised those rights. But, you know, to go overboard and say that, they ought to be allowed to give Cokes and candy to people that are standing in vote lines. I've never seen in our community anybody have problems with voting. You got 2 weeks before the election to vote, so it's just all trying to gain control. Biden is trying to gain control to where the Democrats can never be voted out of power again. So anyway, that's why I want to comment about that. But what I did want to say, if you'll give me another minute, I just wanted to say that there's been a changing of the guard. There's been a changing of the guard. It used to be Jim, and I love Jim's sharing, but Joe from Red Bay has taken over the number one caller in the program. As far as I'm concerned, I was on the floor laughing when he was telling you about squirrel stew, and I didn't know whether you tried to cook any over Thanksgiving or not.
I did not.
I love that, and I also want to confirm from you, Paul, Joe's voice does not match the picture that he's put up, and I just wonder if you can authenticate if that's really Joe's picture that he's got up on the program, because his voice and his picture just don't look like they match.
I can't confirm it because I've never met Joe. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We are heading to a break. We are well on our way here on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to have all of you with us, and let's talk to Dale next in Georgia. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, look, set the record straight on a couple things. Last week you had a guy call. He made reference to back in the early 60s when Bear Bryant, and what was the coach's name at Georgia at the time?
Georgia would have been Wally Butts.
Yeah, Wally Butts. The guy said, well, they tried to fix the game.
Right.
And you gave it. You said, yeah, that's correct. And I think you were saying, yeah, they were accused of that.
Yeah, the famous case, but it was never proven.
Yeah, right. When you said, yes, it's correct, it kind of left a lot of people out here listening, thinking that they did try to fix the game. No, it's only Yale correct that they were accused of it. Alabama beat Georgia the year before by 30 points. They didn't even fix no game. I just want to get that straight, that they were pretty much clear that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, but I've spent a lot of time talking about that case, the famous, I think that was that the Saturday Evening Post case?
Right.
It was, the court ruled in favor of Coach Bryant. Yes.
The other thing was brought up, I heard a couple people mention it, 2009, while Texas, Coach McCoy, he got hurt. That's true, but Paul, let me remind you, he had a replacement that come in that played an outstanding football game, number one. Number two, it was revealed after the game that our quarterback, Greg McElroy, had three broke ribs. McElroy that night went 4-for-11 with almost no yards.
Right.
I tell you what beat Texas that night. Texas was giving up 57 yards rushing per game all season. We had two running backs that night that ran for over 115 yards apiece on Texas.
Yeah, Dale, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've talked to Greg many times about that. He had a flag jacket on, and he still got pummeled. Larry is in Houston. Larry, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, I was interested in your guest comments about the playoffs. I just had a comment. I think that Dabo Swinney and some of the ACC people may have a legitimate point about the number of games that's going to be required. If you got a team that's in a conference – and they go all the way to the championship game, they're going to end up playing 17 games in a 12-team playoff. So is there any possibility that they would have to consider, if they were to expand to 12, that they'd have to cut a couple of games out of their regular season, which now, of course, I realize is going to get into the money issue.
No. There is no way they'll ever wind that back because the contracts are already done for those games. And, you know, the point that has to be made, there's only one way, I think, to play 17 games, and that's if you have a first-round game and make it all the way to the final game.
Yes, you're right. That's correct. And the other the point to consider is what bowls are going to be the semifinals and what bowls will be the preliminaries that pick up those eight lower teams in the rankings. Are there going to be a big argument amongst the various bowls, or will they – around and pick the lottery.
The original plan that was on the table for a few weeks had first-round games at campuses, which got a lot of resistance. I mean, to me, that would really make it exciting. But, the bowl system is married to college football, and those who run college football will do everything they can to protect the bowls.
Exactly. Okay. Well, there's just a couple of points I was thinking about when you guys were having that discussion about
that.
I'm
glad you called, Larry. You take care of yourself. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue and check out Ron in North Carolina. Hello, Ron.
Yes, sir. Paul, second time caller. I called you the week before the national championship game talking about getting the elephant off our back.
Right.
Right. I think we've done that. I was really calling for two things. I wanted to talk about all these disgruntled Georgia fans after we win our first championship in 41 years. I'll be 68 this month. Been a fan since I was 8 years old, so a 60-year fan of Georgia. I just can't believe these people. And you know, we won a championship in 42 and 80 in 2021. What's the two quarterbacks that people are going to remember? I tweeted on Twitter a picture of me and my wife, and Buck Ballew commented, nice-looking couple. Buck Ballew and Stetson Bennett will be the two most famous quarterbacks, at least in the last 60-plus years, no, 70 years, in the annals of Georgia history. And the other thing I want to comment on is the transfer portal. I think now what we have in college football is free agency. I think lawyers got involved, the Justin Fields case, i.e. here in Georgia. I think now you have free agency like the NFL, except for you don't have to honor your contract. If you don't get playing time, you go to another team now.
Well said, Ron. Thank you very, very much. We have 2 hours remaining. We hope you'll stick around.